Turning to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, our reading is the first 15 verses. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Horeb. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. With your own eyes, you saw those great trials, those signs and great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. Yet, the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reached this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the foreigners living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath, to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with this oath not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today." And that's where we'll end our reading of God's word this morning. Being comfortable can sometimes cause us to fall into some rather reckless behaviors. Do you ever think about that? I mean, like, for example, our youngest daughter, Leah, has been living with us as she's gone into her adult years for quite a while now, and it seems like she's almost always the last one in our house to come in, and so she always locks the house doors. And so when we get some days that she's gone for a while, I forget. I have to even think about it sometimes after I've gotten in bed. I need to get up and go lock the doors so that we don't leave those open all night. Or you think about other things, like in the mornings when I get up, as I'm about ready to sit down for breakfast, that's when I take my prescription medications. And if my schedule gets thrown off, if we do breakfast late or something like that, it's really hard for me to remember that. Or I think about, there's a statistic they talk about that most traffic accidents happen within 5 miles of home. And maybe that's because that's where we travel the most, I don't know. But I think it's also a thing of this familiarity, this comfort level that we kind of take it for granted and don't really think about what we're doing. And sometimes that can have terrible consequences. About 2 miles from where we live in Zealand, there was a girl who a couple years ago was coming out of their driveway, which crosses a railroad track. And she did that every day until this one day when she forgot to look. And that had deadly consequences for her. Becoming too comfortable can sometimes get us into trouble. Moses is a little bit afraid of that as the people enter into the promised land. They're standing at that border, and he's been giving them all these instructions about going into the land, and he's saying to them, but don't get too comfortable there, because sometimes things will happen, and you'll get caught off guard, and he's concerned about that. They're not going to be in this compact group of people traveling along together all the time, where they're at a place where they can kind of keep an eye on each other and where the leaders can keep an eye on them. They're going to get into a land where they can settle into their own places and they can eat the fat of the land and will not be dependent on God every day for that manna that he had been bringing to them for 40 years. They're going to get comfortable. And Moses is saying to them, don't let that happen so that it causes you to get into deadly danger zones. But remain aware of who God is and what God wants to do. And so he calls the people on that day to renew their covenant with God. He said, we did this at Horeb a long time ago, but today I want you to do this again. I want you to stand before God, and I want you to say, you are our God, and we will follow you. And I think for us in our culture that this becomes an important theme for us to recognize as well, because we live in an age and a time and a place where a lot of people are pretty comfortable, and we sometimes, in that comfort, forget the things that are most important. And God would have us recognize that there are dangers that can come when we get too comfortable. And sometimes we become suddenly aware of that again. You know, some of us will remember that day of 9/11, how many years ago already? But for like 3 weeks after that, churches were full. And then people got comfortable again, and they disappeared. We don't need to have tragedy to make us aware of who God is. We need to have the Spirit working within us and calling us to account on a daily, weekly, monthly, however often we need to do it, to come back and to stand in God's presence and say, you are our God, and God, we want to follow you. So let's take a look at what's happening with these people as Moses is talking with them on this day and recognize the need for us to be a people who are people of covenant and who are aware of it and who are living that covenant faithfully every day. So we begin by Moses kind of going back over the history once again. He does this at a few different times in the book of Deuteronomy. But I think it's an important thing for them to keep going back and to say, remember when God brought us out of Egypt. And we see he talks about signs and wonders and different kinds of things that happened, reminding them that God was actively involved in that. And it was good for them to go back and to see that once again. And we recognize that Moses started saying things like that all the way back in Exodus chapter 19. This is just after they came out of Egypt. And we read there that Moses said to the people, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So this has been a prevailing theme for Moses, keeping on saying to the people, remember how God brought you out of Egypt. But now, just think about this. This is 40 years later. Think about 40 years having gone by. How many of you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing 40 years ago? And some of you aren't 40, so you can't remember. I know that. But for those of us who are old enough, do you remember? I have one thing that makes it easy for me to remember, because just a week ago we celebrated the birthday of our oldest son, who is now 40 years old. So I know where we were and what we were doing, and we were in Wisconsin at that time, and it was a nasty winter there. We had a snowdrift in front of our house that was about this high at the time he was born, and I had to keep digging that out all the time so I was sure we could get to the hospital when he was born. And so we were celebrating the birth of our child at that time. That was also when Ronald Reagan was president. And in that year, a Strategic Defense Initiative was started. Y'all remember that? I didn't. I looked it up on Google. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember some of those things, because that's 40 years ago. Sometimes those things that seem so significant at the moment, we just kind of forget over the course of time. And Moses is saying to the people, I want to keep reminding you of this because you can't forget what God has done, because it is as we keep rehearsing that story that this stays alive in our lives. So he's reminding them again. The second thing he says to them in verse 5 is, and during that whole time, your clothes and your shoes did not wear out. And he actually has that earlier in Deuteronomy as well, that he says that kind of thing. Now, do you suppose you take that literally? Clothes and shoes did not wear out? Any of you wearing clothes today that are 40 years old? Most of my shoes, and I'm pretty good with my shoes, but like 10, 15 years is about the most I can get out of them, I think. We don't know if we take that literally or not, but what we do recognize is that in this, God is providing for the people in miraculous and wonderful kinds of ways. And God does do stuff like that. I can testify to that myself. You know, we had a season of life some years back where for about 2 years I was either without or very low in regular income. And during that time, nothing in our cars or major appliances in our home broke. Absolutely nothing did. And at that time, I can't say that I was terribly aware of that, except that afterwards, when we had consistent income again, then it seemed like everything broke. And then I thought back, you know how God watched over us during that difficult time. And I was impressed by that at that moment. And I thought, you know, God can do things like that, that he can care for us in ways that our clothes do not wear out, nor do our shoes, in some of those difficult moments of our lives. And so Moses is reminding the people of that as well. And the third thing is that they came to this border of the land, and there were these two lands, the land of Bashan and the land of Heshbon. And as they came to that place, those kings opposed them, and God led them in battle against them, and they took that land, and now we're settling into it as well. So these things were all things that God had done. Now, sometimes we like to complain about some of the older folks, and I'm getting to be one of those who like to seem to tell the same stories over and over again. And you ever have that, like with your grandpa or somebody? It's like, Grandpa, I've heard that like 392 times or something, and why are you telling me this again? But there is something that is really important, especially in regard to stories about what God has been doing, that we continue to repeat those stories. Because it keeps it fresh in our hearts. It keeps us aware of what's going on around us when we tell those stories. And even today, as we come to the Lord's Supper in a little while, this is an important part of telling again the story of what Jesus has done. Jesus came into the world. He died for us. And we remember that when we celebrate this. And Jesus said, keep on doing this again and again and again in remembrance of me until I come again. So what we want to recognize is that importance of recalling what God has done. And sometimes I think I'm not a journaler. I'm not somebody who likes to write down all those things. But I think sometimes it could be helpful for us just to sit down and either mentally or physically write a list of what has God been doing just recently. And then if we can't think of enough stuff, to go back and record more of those things, so that we again celebrate the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Because God has done great things for us as individuals, for us as a church in this community. God continues to accomplish great things. And as those people of Israel were being reminded of that day, I would remind us of that as well. But I also want to stop and read just a moment again, verse 4. Because that seemed to me, as I was reading this passage, kind of an odd thing for Moses to say. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. I'm thinking, what's going on there? So you got to read the context of that just a little bit and dig into it a little bit more. And what Moses is really trying to do is to give them a point of perspective. Sometimes when we go through difficult things and we're in the middle of those difficult things, we're kind of like, God, why is this happening to me? And we're asking a lot of questions and not having that ability to comprehend. But you know that afterwards, sometimes then, when you look back on it, things kind of come together and you can see the bigger picture of what was happening. And I believe that that's what God is doing here through this phrase that Moses is speaking. He's saying to them, for 40 years, you probably haven't really understood this thing. You don't see how God was working his plan for your salvation in this all the way through these 40 years. You're thinking, why are we just like going around in circles in the wilderness for 40 years? This isn't making a whole lot of sense to us. And he's saying, but today, as we stand at this place and as you are about to enter into the land, this is a point of perspective that now you can look back on those 40 years and you can see how God has been guiding your lives, how he is building a relationship with you, how he is bringing you to a place where you are ready to go into this land. Aha, it's that kind of moment for them. In the Bible, we find some other places where God does things like that. Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, God says at that point, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving, make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And God sometimes does not give us that understanding until just the right time. And it's interesting that that verse from Isaiah actually gets quoted by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew when the disciples say to him, Lord, why do you always teach in parables? Because we're having a hard time understanding these parables, and a lot of the people really are not getting this. And Jesus quoted that verse. Because God wants to be at work in our lives to begin to lead us to a place of understanding. So then, in the passage, in verse 9, we get past all of that, and finally, Moses says, so here we are, carefully follow the terms of this covenant, so that you may prosper in everything that you do. 2 points about covenants that are really important for us. Number one is that God is one side of the covenant. And we know from what we observe of him in Scripture and what we've begun to experience of him in our own lives that God is always faithful to his side of the covenant. So that's his side. The other side is that it says to the people of Israel here in this covenant that if you keep the covenant, God is going to bless you with prosperity. We talked about that a little bit last week already, that our sense of prosperity may not always be the same as God's sense of prosperity. But he has this covered in our lives, and he is going to take care of us. But I want you to think a little bit about this relationship and about making that covenant with God, because it is a two-way thing. God makes his promise, but then we also are called to make promises. And so as Moses stands there with the people before the face of God on that day, he's saying, I'm speaking for God. God is making his covenant. God will keep his covenant, but you also need to do your part. Now, we don't get into covenant making so often, and a lot of us probably don't even get into contract making very often. But sometimes we buy things, and those things come with warranties, so maybe that's a more common thing for us to understand. You get the warranty with a car or with some other equipment that you buy, and you all read through every line of those warranties, don't you? I don't either. Don't worry about that. You can all shake your head no, because we don't tend to do that. But sometimes I do like to kind of look through the warranties, because the warranty will tell you how long the manufacturer is going to cover the thing, which is like usually 1 month before they know it's going to break. We kind of got that figured out all right. But that warranty will also come with stipulations for us. that we also would promise in agreeing to that warranty that we do not use that thing in a way other than for which it was intended, and that we do not abuse it. Because if we abuse it, then that will often void the warranty. So we make that agreement as well. And they used to always have those little cards that you could sign and then mail in, and now they do some of that online, I know, and they want to have your signature if that warranty is to be validated. Because they make their promise, and they're saying, we want you to make a promise as well. So we get that from our lives. But that's what this covenant relationship with God is also about. That God is saying, here's what I promised to you, but I want you to make your promise to me. When we talk about church membership and things like that, that's some of what that's all about. It's standing before God and standing with and before his people and saying, these are the promises that I make. And that's why that becomes important to us. I know a lot of you who are here are not members of the church, and I'm not wanting to like put a guilt trip on you today or something over that. But I want you to know that even when you do not make that commitment to this congregation, that you need to make that commitment to God. Because God stands and makes his promise, but he says, if you do not keep your promise to me, then you voided the covenant. And God doesn't need them to be faithful, but he still usually is in most things. But do you see the importance of being responsible ourselves in the covenant we have with God? Now, there's also an intriguing thought in verse 15. Here's this word here. He says, I make this covenant with you who are standing here, but not only you, also with those who are not here today. So what's he talking about there? I did several different readings about this because I thought, you know, does it just mean like if George from down the street was sick today and was not here when we did the covenant that we're standing in for him as well, or if somebody's traveling and not happening to be there on that day? Now, most of the people who have studied this deeply have said it's talking about the future generations. And thinking about the impact of what we do today on those who follow behind us. And so he's saying to them, you today in making this covenant are also doing something which is of significance for those generations that are yet to come. They're not standing here, but one day they will be the ones standing before God. And we need to do something today that will make a difference in their lives as they come along. So sometimes you see things where people have previously done something that makes a difference. Linda and I have had the privilege over the last several years to do a lot of traveling to national parks all over the country, and almost every one of those parks will come to some place in the park where it will have a sign up that says, this structure was built by the CCC. Now, most of us who are here aren't old enough to know the CCC, but some of you might. What was that? It was the Civilian Conservation Corps. This was men who in the 1930s, who were in the midst of the Deep Depression of that time, jobless, and who got work through the government. I read this week that there were over 3 million men who took jobs in the CCC, and they worked very hard and very diligently to do things like building bridges in some of these parks, carving trails out of the mountains and building those kinds of things, and building structures, many of which still stand to this very day. And that's more than 40 years ago. That's almost 100 years ago already. They did good work, but very hard work. And today, we benefit from that work that they did by going on the trails that they created so long ago. So I think about that in terms of what Moses is saying to the people. Their heritage, they could go back, they could say, we started to walk by faith in God by our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We think about those who came out of Egypt 40 years ago, and we stand on their shoulders, in a sense, as we come into the promised land today. And then they were saying, but generations will follow, and we want to be faithful today so that they too can follow in that same direction. And I think about our lives, and I think about those same people who bear testimony to God for many, many years of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the people who came out of Egypt, but also these people who stood there before Moses on that day. And then I turn to the New Testament, and we're introduced there to the apostles and to some of the other leaders in the early church. And we look through the pages of church history over the last 2,000 years, and we see great spiritual mentors and people who live by faith in amazing ways so that we could be in a place where we could hear the word and understand it. And I think about those who established this congregation and this community over all those years ago before most of us were involved here. Some of you for a long time, I know, but a lot of us not that long. But we stand on their shoulders in these days. And I think about our parents and other spiritual mentors who have been a part of our lives and how their testimony has given us the strength and the understanding to be able to come to the place where we are today. And then I think, but we also take a stand today for those who are yet to come. That we, by the promises we make to God on this day, also create a foundation for our children and for other children who've been a part of our community and for others who will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a future that's dependent on us taking our stand in our day. It's often been said that the church is only one generation away from extinction. If we are not faithful today, the next generation doesn't have a chance. Though God is faithful, and we've talked about that in the last weeks too, that God continues to preserve a remnant of his church. We know he does that. But the point for us is this: we take a stand not only for ourselves, but also as a testimony to those who will follow us. And that's an encouragement in these last weeks that I'm with you that I really want to give to you as a church as well. That you continue to say, we will be here presenting the Word of God faithfully and living the Word of God as faithfully as we can so that those who come behind us can know. Now, before I leave the passage, I want to turn to one more verse. And that's at the very end of the chapter. It's verse 29. We read there, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. There are some things that God still is not going to tell us for as long as we live in this world. Some of it we just don't really need to know, even though our curiosity sometimes says, God, why? What's going on? And God says, you don't need to know all of that. But I give you what you need to know so that you may know that I am your God, so that you can make your covenant with me to follow me and to obey my decrees, to live your life in a way that is blessed. I've given you all that, and we hold those truths in our lives. And so we know what we believe, and we'll profess that this morning in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We know who we are. And that affects what we do and how we live. And so God says to us, I ask you, stand before me and make your covenant. And we're going to do that when we come to that place this morning that we speak the Apostles' Creed. But for the moment, let's just join together in prayer. Father, as we have come to this place this morning, we are a people who are recognizing you're a God who's been at work in our lives in some very amazing ways. And we thank you for that, and we celebrate your goodness, and we pray that as we live this day and all the days of our lives, that we may do so remembering who you are, remembering what you've done, and living into your covenant with us, that we too may say, God, we make our covenant with you, and we promise that we will keep that covenant in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.